Welcome to Story Chats at Inspi Romance. I am not Elizabeth Madry, the person that you are used to seeing here in the chair seat. She's away today with a family emergency, so we're just praying for her, and we're chatting with authors today as we had planned. I'm Valerie Comer. I'm here with my co-host, Narelle Atkins.
Hi, everyone.
And we're welcoming Nicole Diesbach with us today.
Hello, it's good to be here. Thank you.
She's here to talk about her new book, The Roads We Follow. Nicole is a Christie and Carol Award-winning, best-selling author of hope-filled, humorous, and heartfelt, ooh, I get that, all H's, nice done, heartfelt contemporary romance novels. When she's not sorting out character arcs and story plots of her own, she can usually be found listening to an audiobook and multitasking at least four different chores at once. She's a hoarder of sparkling water, a lover of long walks, and even longer talks with friends, and a seeker of fun and adventure at all times. She lives in small town Idaho with her happily ever after hubby, two freakishly tall teenage sons, and one princess daughter with the heart of a warrior. Thanks for joining us again, Nicole.
Thank you so much. I love talking with you ladies.
And we enjoy having you here.
Yes.
I think we enjoy having you here mostly because we love your books. Also, you're a great guest.
Oh, well.
So Narelle asked to go first, so I'm just going to toss the ball over to her.
I did ask her first. I love the story. Absolutely loved it. I read it. I think I worked out. I read it within 19 hours. I think
and just
I slept
left.
About and I slept about 6 hours in the middle because I fell asleep reading it after midnight. And then my cat woke me up at 5:30, like she does, because she has to walk all over me because she's a cat.
Yeah.
And then of course I picked the book up as soon as my blurry vision went and off I went reading. So I finished at like 7 a.m. and then we're recording.
Oh
so
goodness.
It's all good. So I'm very much in the zone for this book. I haven't even written my book recommendation yet. So in chapter one, we meet Chip. And so I loved Chip in the first book in the series. So it was so cool to see Chip again in this story. And he was in The Words We Lost, which is the first book. And he's an acquisitions editor at Fog Harbor Books, which is based in San Francisco. But we actually meet Chip in Nashville. So he's there for a writing conference of some description, which we, any authors listening will know exactly what I'm talking about. And Chip's having coffee in Nashville with Regan, who's the heroine of the story. And he wants to talk to her about her book submission because she's a wannabe fiction writer. Mm-hmm. Now, Regan's famous family don't know that she's a writer. Her mother is Luella Farrow, who's a country music superstar. Regan has two older sisters, and basically her mother's music and family and the record label is effectively her life. So at the start of the story, what's going on with Regan, and why does she want to use a pen name to publish her fiction book when anyone that knows anything about writing knows it's platform, platform, platform? That's all that anyone ever hears about if you go to a writing conference. You need to have a platform, and her famous family would give her probably a platform that could actually get her writing contract in fiction writing, even though she's effectively unknown.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to interrupt for a second because I'm a newbie host, and what I didn't do is ask you to describe the story. So could you describe the story while answering Narelle's question, please? Thank you.
Sure. Yeah. And a huge part of the story is actually in the question, right? Regan's kind of this, she has this real strong passion for writing. She's, you know, we believe that she's a gifted writer even from the start. But yeah, she's kind of swallowed up in this family that is very music focused, music driven. The daughter of a famous country singer, like you mentioned, Narelle. And so she has, and as the youngest daughter, she's kind of lived under some unique pressures in this kind of famous family. And so for her, she knows she can get someplace with her name if she put her name on something. But what she doesn't know is if she did use a pen name, like she really wants to be able to kind of get out from underneath the Farrow name. And so it's kind of this unique circumstance that she's in. And so she kind of feels at the start of the book, like she's given this hope, you know, to that maybe, you know, this Chip, the acquisitions editor, is interested in her story. And so she has this real, you know, hope. And then we learn really quickly That with that interest, of course, is part of the package of who she is as a pharaoh. And so we kind of see really right from the front of the book that she is kind of stuck in the situation. She can either, publish and kind of be known again as this entity of her family and kind of, let that take over. Or, she can either shelve it or she can at some point maybe on later on in life try and write under a pen name, but she's kind of in this real stuck place. And so she has, yes, this heart and this passion for writing, and we're just not really sure what she can do. Her hands are kind of tied because of the position that she's in. And as a youngest daughter, she is very much under the microscope of her oldest sister. There's been a lot of drama in the family as of recent years and even months. And so her movements are a lot more under the microscope. And so she also knows that she would absolutely not have the blessing of certain members of her family if she was to publish. And so kind of the one of the many conflicts in the story is Reagan trying to kind of figure out where her place is, where her identity is, outside of her family, but while still being kind of pushed, and prodded, and really an employee of her family as well. So, it's a story. There's a long road trip involved, as we know, by kind of just looking at the cover, with a big family road trip that involves mom and all three sisters, which is going to be fun in and of itself. A lot of tensions there. And then, of course, there is a romance involved as well, which is Micah, who is their bus driver, who is there for reasons of his own. So that's kind of the setup of the story. So hopefully that helps.
Reasons of his own. That sounds
Yes.
ominous.
It does.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And she got
Secret,
burned as
secretive
well.
reasons.
And she got burned by her ex-boyfriend, who really, it also starts coming out in the story. But from the beginning, you even get the impression that he really was drawn to her because of what he could get out of her. Like he could use her name and use her connections to improve his profile as a musician. So she's really, I think really trying at the beginning of the story to process how can I actually have a healthy relationship with someone who's going to love me for who I am and not for the family connection and what how they can use and abuse me from
Yeah,
that connection.
that's
Yeah.
right. Yeah,
I think
that's right.
there's quite a few books out there, not like thousands maybe, but of romances about authors. And some of them are a little hum-ho and somehow a little extra dramatic from my point of view, where I'm just like, yeah, no, I don't think so. But I love how you put this whole ensemble together and this whole plot together, because it was a twist that anyone could relate to, whether they write books or want to write books or don't. But just the whole drama surrounding it. I was planning to like it because I really enjoyed the first book. So, which was also about an author, but I enjoyed it perhaps more than I even expected to, just because of all
Oh,
those
good.
connections in the background.
Oh,
So
it was beautiful.
Thank you. I enjoyed accompanying the Farrow family on their road trip. So we've got basically from, chapter one or maybe two, clear to the end of a road trip, from Nashville to Idaho via the Redwoods in Northern California. So, how did the idea come for this to be a road trip romance? And how did you choose the route?
Yeah, so that's actually a really this is kind of a sentimental answer. I had a totally different plot for this story, like so different, like completely opposite plot. And then my father-in-law got really sick the summer of 22, and right kind of before I usually start my books in September, kind of start, at least kind of getting some words down and kind of fleshing out my plot. And he got sick. He had been sick and then and was diagnosed with a fairly quick prognosis. And he died in August. And so it was very short, and we were actually all together. There's four boys in their family, and we didn't know that they were going to be getting this news. Like, it was all kind of, God kind of worked this out in a really precious moment for us all to be together. We had planned this trip for all of the boys to come and be at my house. And we were just doing, summer things with the cousins and all this kind of stuff. And so we get the email from my husband's father, Bill, and just kind of giving us the latest of this doctor's appointment. And that day, we were all kind of somber after that, and we go and sit on the back porch, and the brothers are just kind of talking and reminiscing and kind of hopeful that they could do this last road trip with their dad. And my husband's father grew up in Alabama, and then my mother-in-law Helen was in Oregon, and so they did so many road trips back and forth. Like, my husband has probably been from Alabama to Oregon, where him and I both grew up, maybe a dozen times, and so they had really dreamed about this idea of being able to go with their dad one last time to as adults, and kind of like go the same route and stop at the same stores and, kind of just play. And so we were having that conversation, and it was fairly lighthearted because there's so many fun memories that we could kind of joke about and inside family jokes. And it was in that moment I was just struck, and I like it was just this like, this is what I have to write. Like, not a father and his three sons, but a mother and her three daughters. And just what kind of tensions and nuances and sentimental, things maybe had happened, in their lives, and what kind of better pressure cooker to put you in a bus for 2 weeks to kind of have to figure some things out. And so that's kind of how the story reworked itself. So by the end of that weekend, I really had an entire, and I was like, I wasn't sure how anything was going to fit. I wasn't sure what my editors were going to say. But I just knew, like, I wanted to honor my father-in-law, because they didn't get that last road trip with him. But the brothers are still going to take one, I think, eventually. But really wanting to kind of, how do I write a story that kind of, gets to fit that in and really dedicate it to their family's journey with road trips. So that's kind of how that worked. I forget the second part of the question. Sorry.
How did you choose the route, and how
Oh,
did
the
you
route.
travel it?
Yeah. So the route. So this is a true story about me. I am the worst with directions. Like, I feel like I was born without a direction gene. I really was. I could use a GPS in my own hometown and do often. Like, I'm not, that does not stick in my brain well. And so that was like the one part I was the most paranoid about, was like, how do I get, the route right? How do I even know, like, east, west, any of that kind of stuff? Like, I had so many people reading over what I was doing, because I was like, listen, like, this is like a true issue for me. And so I actually, Connellan Cassette, I work very closely with as my critique partner. And so we kind of worked, she just kept saying, you just figure out what you want to do, and I'll help you kind of figure out the route. So she was very instrumental in kind of laying out, okay, about this many hours later they would run into this, kind of like, this is where they'd be. And I really tried to choose places that were a little off the norm. I didn't want to just go to like national landmarks. I really wanted to learn and discover new things and try and make it a little fresh, with some different type of stops along the way, some made up and some real. So,
No, I enjoyed, there was a lot of really fun stops along the way that tickled my funny bone.
yes,
Now,
good. Yeah,
Narelle may have
you
finished it this morning, but I read it several weeks ago, so it's not quite as fresh for me, but I do remember being
Oh, good.
amused by
Yeah.
some of the places that they stopped, and I was like, oh,
Yes.
that's kind of cool.
Good.
The hot
Yes,
springs
the hot
is
springs. I know. And I haven't been there, but my other critique partner, actually, while I was writing this book, Tammy, had to stop there for some reason in the hot springs. So they actually went inside and did the whole bath thing. So she was taking pictures and asking questions for me. So that was pretty cool, just to be like, oh, okay, I have these facts right, so that was good.
Oh,
That's
thank you,
fun.
Tammy. I appreciated that.
Yeah. Yeah. It
Because
was fun.
that's a real place, so you want to get it right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I have a few readers that live there. And so, because I put a little shout out at one point and they're like, I'm close. So it's like, okay, I have to try and hit all the markers on the facts.
For
So.
sure. So, Beth's question for you is, one of the big themes in this book is balancing family expectations with personal desires and even God's call on your life. So, can you tell us a bit about your thoughts on that and why it was something that you wove so thoroughly into the story?
Oh man. Okay, so personally, I do think that expectations are a huge part of relationships. And as I'm, just hit my 40s, I feel like that's coming more and more into play, more understanding about, hey, where is this disappointment coming from? Or where is this pressure coming from? Or, sometimes it's from my own self. Like I put the expectation, right? And so I think that's just such a, it's such an interesting, issue, I guess, within family dynamics, because we have grown up, oftentimes with kind of set expectations and set pressures. And I think especially with siblings, it's I always think it's funny, like we can be how old we are and we kind of still fall into the same patterns and the same, it's funny. And I'm the oldest, so I have my own set of unique isms, as being the oldest child. And so yeah, I think I really felt like there would be some relatability in the dynamic between siblings, whether or not you have a famous mother, kind of some of their unique dynamics as the Farrow family. I felt like within sisterdom, within siblings, that there would be something relatable to kind of that for each person as they read to go, gosh, like I have those relationships that feel like there's a heavy expectation, or I put that heavy expectation on someone, like wherever you fall. I thought there would be, that's a it's an issue for so many people. It's something that I'm constantly trying to weigh out too in my relationships now, and really go, where is the healthy boundaries, here? And how do I activate healthy boundaries, even in a loving relationship? I heard once something that I think kind of helped me as I wrote this story. I don't know if you've read anything by Brené Brown or seen her talk before. But she has this quote where she said, my most healthy relationships are my most boundaried relationships. And when I first heard that, I was like, that does not make any, this was like years ago. And I was like, that makes zero sense, And then as I started to really think through that and actually try and apply that in my life, I was like, oh, okay, like I understand what she's saying. Like to be able to work and function within healthy boundaries is exactly where we should be. That's that space of balance, and it takes work to get there. It takes trust. It takes, lots of effort, on both sides. But when it's done right, it can be such a beautiful thing. And so that's kind of, I was trying to show maybe some of the broken parts of it, and then kind of toward the healing part of it is, how do we exercise these things? How do we identify, what's right, what's wrong, what's me, what's not me, what's my part, what's not my part. There's all of those kind of health, all those kind of nuances within relationship.
So you
Yeah.
said
And we
you're
have a
the
therapist.
oldest. You have sisters.
I am the oldest of, so I'm the oldest of four siblings. I have my brother who's 2 years younger than me. And then I had twin sisters, one who's passed away, but yes. So I have the works. Yes. So we had
I'm the youngest of
me.
five girls, so I was
Okay,
feeling
you're the
very young.
youngest. Okay. Yeah. So I hope I can relate to kind of each one of those characters, each sister, in their own way. But I definitely had some, oldest child moments where I could be like, yeah, I maybe have pushed a little hard sometimes,
And I mean,
myself.
Adele was a strong character. She's the eldest, and Hattie's the middle sister.
Yes.
But you have a therapist in the story, and he was just amazing. I mean, often if often it, when you sort of bring therapy, sort of psychology stuff into a story, sometimes it can feel like the author's intruding on the story.
Yes.
If that makes sense, because the characters, you sort of sit there and think, well, would the characters really have that insight into themselves to really realize what they're actually doing and how it affects other people? Whereas you had a therapist, our hero is a therapist. And so I love the way he just so gently just really loved on and nurtured the three girls and their mother with his own, we're not going to talk about what's going on with him because that's a massive spoiler for the story, but he had his own journey and his own grief that he was dealing with as well. I just loved him. I just thought he was amazing. I thought, wish he was around in real life, I would be friends with him.
I loved Micah as well.
You know, it's, and that's a really good point. So I, my first draft of the story, I really tried to keep it, to keep, like, one of my main thoughts as I was writing Micah's POV was making sure he didn't seem too introspective or too, you know, that, that author intrusion, you know, like, because you're right, you know, we're not just going to go and no one's interested in reading, you know, a page of therapy, you know, that doesn't actually apply or that feels like it's not moving the story forward. And so I kind of wrote the first draft and then really tried to fine tune that and make him, you know, he's definitely flawed. He definitely has, you know, his own issues that he's working through, like you said, a difficult circumstance that he's, you know, trying to figure out through on, you know, throughout the journey as well. But yeah, I totally agree. And I that's thanks to Rel and also Connie, when they kind of read my first draft, you know, they were like, okay, here and here are two spots you can tweak. He feels a little too therapist-y here. So, you know, kind of dial those things back. But yeah, so hopefully he feels like he's a balanced, you know, human and doesn't have all the answers, because he certainly doesn't, because this author certainly doesn't. So that's how that
none of us do. None of us are perfect. We all stuff up, and often that's we don't have the insight to see what we're actually doing. And later we go, oh, well, that was a bit dumb, wasn't it?
Yeah. Or like, you know, taking that bird's eye view and being able to go, oh, now I see how all the pieces, you know, are, but we can get so focused, you know, on our own stuff and kind of miss out on the bigger moving parts.
True.
Oh, it has been really fun to talk to you today. Can you tell our listeners, our watchers, where they can find you? And can you give us a hint as to what's coming next? Another Fog Harbor book, please. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes. There'll be there's one more.
Yay.
So yeah, I'm working on it literally currently. So first you can go to my website, which is just NicoleDeese.com. I'm pretty active on social media, much more so on Instagram, which again I think is just Nicole Deese author. So I'm there, and I have a newsletter that goes out about once, you know, every other month. So that's a great place to hop on and see kind of what's currently happening and book recommendations and those kind of things. And my final book, which I don't think I can say the title because I don't know if it's been approved yet. But it is, again, totally new cast of characters, except for Chip. Chip kind of gets to be the one that kind of goes through all of the stories, and he's going to kind of get, this isn't his book, but he definitely, I know he's not going to get his own story. He's not going to get his own novel, but he is going to get a little novella. So we're going to kind of round him out in this last book. But yeah, so this last one is actually about an actress who has had kind of something difficult happen in her journey on stage, and has now kind of come to be a voice actor for audiobooks. So she's a narrator, and she gets to kind of share space with a sound engineer. And so it's going to be the two of them, kind of forced proximity romance. He's had a lot of difficult things going on in his journey, including becoming the legal guardian of his adopted sister, who is newly deaf. And so there's a journey with kind of deaf culture and hard of hearing culture within this story that is so big and based on sound. And so, it's a lot of learning, a lot of research, but really kind of each of them in their own way, finding their own voice kind of in the world, the in the trials that they've been handed, you know, at current.
It sounds really amazing. I'm going to look forward to seeing that one.
Thank you.
And thank you everyone for joining us today at Story Chats. Please let us know your thoughts in comments on YouTube or the Story Chats Facebook page. Let us know if you've read the previous Fog Harbor book, if you like road trip romance, and if you like therapists and youngest daughters as characters in a romance novel. You can find information about the podcast at inspiromance.com/storychats. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe and hit that notification bell so you never miss an episode. We'll see you next week. Meanwhile, be sure to make some time to fall in love with a good book. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.